Invite you to open your Bibles to our scripture reading this morning. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 18. We're going to begin reading in verse 9. Just a brief introduction to this passage before we read it. Many see, and I would concur, that the main body of Deuteronomy is structured along the lines of being an exposition of the Ten Commandments. And this passage that we're looking at today fits within the fifth commandment. Do you remember your Ten Commandments well enough to know which is the fifth? Honor thy father and mother. And people who study these things have long recognized, and our confession does as well, that fifth commandment speaks about more than just family relationships. It also talks about authority in general and the duty that God's people have to submit to the authorities that God has placed in our lives, which always starts for us with the authority of parents. That's the first authority and the easiest, actually, because they care and nurture us so tenderly and so thoroughly. But it also applies to other authorities. And so in this section of Deuteronomy, Moses deals with three of the authorities that God has given to Israel. He starts with the king, and then the priest, and in today's passage, the prophet. So he's going to talk to us about listening to the prophet that God will send. And before he does that, he talks about those to whom we're to make sure we do not listen. So let's look at what he says beginning in verse 9 of chapter 18. Hear now the word of God. When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominable practices of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who burns his son or his daughter as an offering, anyone who practices divination or tells fortunes or interprets omens, or a sorcerer or a charmer or a medium or a necromancer or one who inquires of the dead. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God is driving them out before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. For these nations which you are about to dispossess, listen to fortune tellers and to diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not allowed you to do this. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. Just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, "Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, or see this great fire any more, lest I die." And the Lord said to me, "They are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, 'How may we know the word that the Lord has not spoken?' When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You need not be afraid of him." May God bless to our hearts this reading of his word. Listening. It's an important part of life. It's an important part of our spiritual lives. It's painful when people don't listen to you, isn't it? You ever felt like the teacher in the Charlie Brown episodes, you know, who's just up there and talking away, but all people hear is wah, 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 wah. And I've often felt like that, I must say. Sadly, I have to say, my wife has often felt like that with me. I've never felt like that with her. She listens to me pretty well. You know who doesn't listen to me? Here's who doesn't listen to me that's most painful to me. I find it's when I'm in kind of a discipling, counseling situations, and I see a danger ahead for people, and I warn them. And they hear every word I say, but they're not really listening. And I know the damage that's going to be done. It's painful to undergo that. But it's destructive not to listen. It might be painful not to be listened to, but it is destructive when we don't listen to the voices we should listen to. Jack Miller tells the story about a time in his life when he asked his wife the question, Rosemary, if there's anything you would change about me, what would it be? Husbands, if you have courage, you can ask your wives that question later. Rosemary said to Jack, Jack, you don't listen to me. He said, okay. A year later, he worked on that during the year. A year later, he goes back. He asked her again, Rosemary, if there's anything you would change about me, what would it be? Jack, you don't listen. And for years, she gave the same answer, and it befuddled him. He thought, you know, I can repeat everything she says. What does she mean I don't listen to her? Well, he discovered later that he really wasn't listening to her about not listening. And the reason was that he was too full of himself. He was too convinced that he was right. Pride, you see, kept him from the kind of humility needed to listen well. Well, this passage talks to us about listening, and particularly about the voice to whom we should be most attentive, the voice of God Himself, listening to Him. So we're going to look at that, and we're going to consider first those voices to whom we should not listen, because that's what God brings up first, and then listening to God's voice through His prophet, because that's the way God outlines it here. So the voice or voices to whom we should not listen, those are the patterns that were in place in the lives of the Canaanites who lived in the land before Israel got there. And they listened to, and he gives a whole long list of them there, diviners. Diviners are simply people who try to listen to God, but through an illegitimate means. Or charmers. Charmers aren't people who are just pleasant and good at their manners. They are people who cast spells, charms. Necromancers, people who attempt to contact the dead for guidance. And all kinds of other fortune tellers, all kinds of other psychic mediums were present in Canaanite practice. And God tells His people they are not to listen to those voices. Now, what's the attraction of such things? Why do people do that anyway? And people still do, right? I was going somewhere this week and I happened to have a radio channel that advertised a psychic medium. You know, you could call and the first 3 minutes were free. And you could get a psychic reading from this person. And they said, you know, you want advice about romance. You want advice about jobs. You want advice about investments. Just call our hotline. Have you ever noticed, by the way, that when you see like fortune tellers advertised, they're always in the poorest sections, it seems like. And you're like, oh, wait a minute. Now, if this really works, why don't they tell fortunes about, you know, hot stock tips or something, you know, that'll make them a lot of money. But these things are around today. And you see, the appeal of them, the attraction of them, is for guidance about future things that we really don't know about. You know, if we only had that piece of information about the future, then our decision in the present would be better. And we really, in that way, attempt to take control of things in our lives. Well, what's wrong with that? Well, what's wrong with it is that God says, I am the one in control of your lives. And your call is to trust me. And trust me by listening to me, not only listening to what I say, but also listening to what I don't say. And don't try to get information that I have chosen not to give you. And there's a lot in that category, isn't there? There's a lot God has told us, but there's a heck of a lot God has not told us. And God says when it comes to his people, what he wants from us is to listen to him and what he says instead of listening to other voices, and listen to him in what he doesn't say, and not seeking to get that knowledge that God has said, no, I'm not going to tell you that. I've given you enough for the next step in your life. And we want to know 10 steps. That's the reason people call psychics. They want to know 10 steps ahead. And God says, no, here's your next step. And when you get there, I'll let you know in time for the next one after that. Because you see, that keeps us walking with the Lord. And God says, when we don't do that, it is an abomination to him. It's interesting, in this list of Canaanite practices, if you were paying attention, you notice one of them that didn't fit with all the others. And it's in verse 10 where he says, there shall not be found among you anyone who burns his son or his daughter as an offering. And then he goes on with a long list of things that fit in this category of divination or psychic mediums, that kind of thing. But the first one doesn't seem to fit with the rest of them. And I think what's being communicated there is that God is saying, listen, there are more ways to destroy your sons and daughters than in fires of child sacrifice. Another way they can be destroyed is by listening to the wrong voices in their lives. And so be very careful, he says, not to do this. It is an abomination to me. That's a strong word, and God repeats it three times. He says, listening to those who promise the key to life. And by the way, let me just mention, sometimes these voices are in the church as well. I mean, you don't have to call a psychic hotline to get these voices. There are people, I've run across folks who've had encounters with churches where the leaders of the church supposedly get a word from God that directs people about specific things in their lives, like whom to marry, a job to take or not to take. And I'm not talking about sinful versus righteous things. I'm talking about two things which either one would be fine, not forbidden by God's word. And churches tend to, some churches claim to hear a word from God with detailed information about that kind of thing. Don't listen to those voices. That is not information that God gives to us. And so, and he speaks about it so strongly. He says it's an abomination to me. That means it's something that God kind of shudders at. It's detestable to him. It would be like for us cuddling up to an active wasp nest. What is your response to wasps? This is kind of fresh on my mind because last Sunday I went into my garage and a wasp just kind of had my hands full of heavy things, and a wasp came and bam, right there, stung me, and I dropped everything and hit the wasp off and delighted in squashing him as dead as I possibly could. He was detestable to me. And God says, any voice other than mine is an abomination to me. Do not listen to those voices. So what voices compete for the voice of God in your life? Is it the voice of a parent when you were growing up who told you you're worthless, you can't do anything right, you'll never amount to anything? Don't listen to that voice. I know that's a compelling voice. Do not listen to that voice. God says something else. Is it the voice of that, quote, friend at school, you know, who says, take these drugs. You know, they'll do good for you. Don't listen to that voice. Is it the voice of a coworker saying, you spend way too much time with your family. Give yourself to your job. Forget your family. They'll be there. They'll take care of themselves. Don't listen to those voices. Listen to God's voice. Verse 15 is very clear. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. And Moses goes on to make reference to something that happened at Mount Sinai. He calls it Horeb here. That was just his word for Mount Sinai. And you remember what happened at Mount Sinai? God began speaking to the whole nation, and they kind of freaked out. They said, we can't tolerate the voice of God. It terrifies us. Moses, why don't you just go up and hear from God, and then you come tell us what he said? And it kind of, you know, it sounds like a wimpy thing, but God endorsed it. God said, that's a good idea. That's a good plan. We're going to do it that way from here on out. I will communicate through Moses, my prophet, and he will come bring my word to you. And God said, that is such a good plan that we're not going to just use it now. We're going to use it for the rest of time. From now on, when I speak to my people, I will not speak directly. I will speak through a prophet. A prophet whom I call and I anoint, and I will give him my word. So for the rest of the Old Testament, that's the way God spoke to his people. Many prophets were called. They came and they said, thus saith the Lord, and the word of God came from their lips. Well, as we look at this passage, I want to ask three questions of it. The first question is this. How does God speak to us today in light of this passage? And the answer to that is actually quite clear in the New Testament. Three verses that give us the answer to that question of how God speaks to us today. He still does it the same way that he told Moses he was going to do it. He speaks through a prophet. Not through prophets, plural, but through a prophet, singular. And that prophet is Jesus. Peter preached a sermon in Acts 3 where he talked about that. He actually quoted this passage from Deuteronomy 18. And he said, Jesus is the prophet that God speaks from. And then a second passage, Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2. It says this, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. And if you still don't get it, it couldn't be more clear in the last passage where God made an exception to his rule of speaking through a prophet for one particular moment, one particular time. He spoke from heaven to make sure we knew who his prophet was. Do you remember what he said at the baptism of Jesus and then again at the Mount of Transfiguration? A voice from heaven thundered, "This is my son," referring to Jesus, "in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." You see, it's like God taking Deuteronomy 18 and saying, you know that prophet that I said I was going to speak through? Bam, that's him. Listen to Jesus. Well, what does that mean for us? How do we listen to Jesus? I've never heard Jesus audibly speak to me. Does that mean that we pay special attention to the red letters in our red letter edition Bibles? Well, obviously it does mean that you pay attention to the red letters in the red letter editions. Those are the words of Jesus. You listen to Jesus and what is recorded that he has said. But it means more than that. Because if you pay attention to the red letters, what they say, in one place, Jesus says that everything in the Old Testament is the Word of God. He said not a jot or tittle is going to pass from it. The smallest part of the Hebrew letters, not a smidgen of it is going to pass away until everything is fulfilled. And you see Jesus using the Old Testament in that way. He quoted from it. He regarded it as an authority. Well, if we listen to Jesus, then we're going to receive the Old Testament as the Word of God, because Jesus did. So, red letter everything from Genesis through Malachi. That's Jesus speaking to us as well. And then Jesus said toward the end of his life, before his death, resurrection, and ascension, he promised that he would send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit would lead his apostles into all truth. So that means that the truth that the Spirit wanted to bring would be brought during this apostolic era. And much of it was written down. So that covers Acts through Revelation. Make that red letter as well. Bottom line is this: we listen to Jesus by listening to the Bible, by receiving it as the Word of God. Now, the Bible, or the Word of God, I should say, has always been under attack from Satan. It was at the very beginning. Remember, almost the first words out of Satan's mouth to Adam and Eve, did God really say, calling into question what God had chosen to reveal? Satan always attempts to destroy God's image bearers by attacking the truth of God's revelation. And it continues to happen today in so many ways. Oftentimes, especially inside the church. I was reading a book this week that it's Kevin DeYoung's latest book called Taking God at His Word. And he relates the story of attending a denominational meeting of denominational leaders of his particular denomination. He's not in the PCA. They were invited at this meeting to find their, quote, norms as a denominational community. Norms are just the laws, the rules that you're going to live by. And let me read what Kevin DeYoung said. He said, "When I suggested our first norm should be testing everything against the Word of God, I was told," and this is an exact quote, "that," quote, "we are not here to open our Bibles," close quote. The goal of the group, apparently, I continue with what DeYoung wrote, "the goal of the group apparently was that we would listen to our hearts and listen to each other, but not so much that we would listen to God." So, the Word of God continues to be under attack. Now, what does this say? I need to address a very practical question here. What about people who say to you, "God spoke to me and said"? Now, how should we regard that? Well, there's a very popular devotional book out now, Jesus Calling, that I think is a great book. But, the author claims that, God spoke to her a number of different ways. And let me just kind of give you my take on that. I don't get apoplectic about that, okay? But I do put it in the category of impressions versus clear revelation. Where do we have clear revelation? In the Bible and the Bible alone. Because God used words and spoke to us in His Word. Everything else is a level two kind of impression from God. And that's okay. And I've experienced it. I've never experienced the voice of God speaking to me. I've never once experienced that. But I have experienced times when I've been reading the Word and something stands out to me. I mean, it's clear to me that the Holy Spirit of God is putting His finger on that, said, Brad Allison, you need this. And it sinks to a deeper level. And maybe it's something I've read for years, but all of a sudden God's Spirit applies it to me. And so there's a way that I could say, God spoke to me and He said, and then it would be repeating that lesson that God brought to me through His Word. So I think we need to distinguish between kind of level one revelation, the Bible and the Bible alone, and kind of level two impressions. And I don't want to discount all the impressions, but they always have to be compared to the Scriptures. Okay, we always need to go back to the Scriptures. And if they disagree, then the person, we need to tell them, well, I don't think you heard God right. You need to go back and listen again, because that's different than what He says in His Word. To me, it's the difference between, even in our human relationships, between reading body language and hearing words. When you hear words, it's clearer than reading body language. We used to have a woman in our church here who, when I would preach, she would have a scowl on her face. And it took me a long time to understand that was just her look of concentration. She was. I thought at first she was angry or upset at something I'd said because of the scowl. But I later learned that no, that's just the way she looks when she's concentrating. And I actually told other people who preach here, now watch out for this person. She's going to be scowling, but she's not angry at you. She's your friend. She's just listening intently to what you're saying. You see, you can misread body language. It's harder to misread direct language. You can misread that too. But it's much clearer. Language is much clearer than body language. The revelation from God, from His Bible, is more clear than impressions that we might get from God. So that's the first question. Well, here's the second one. How can we know that Jesus is a true prophet? Not everybody agrees with that. How can we know that that's the case? Well, Moses gives us a test here. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word that the Lord has not spoken. Now, note that test is stated negatively. He doesn't say, if somebody predicts something about the future and it comes true, you can be sure they're a prophet. He doesn't say that. I mean, there are people who predict things about the future that do come true, right? And don't conclude from that they're a real prophet. What he says is a negative test. If there's anything, even one thing they've said in the way of a prediction that fails to come true, write them off. They are not a prophet from God. Well, how does Jesus measure up with that test? Jesus said a lot of things about the future. He said some things that have already been in the past. He told Peter, before daybreak tomorrow, you're going to deny me three times. Peter, I would never do that, Jesus. Well, he did. Jesus said 3 days after I'm killed, he said, I'm going to go to Jerusalem and I'm going to die there. But 3 days later, I'm going to be raised again. He went to Jerusalem. He died there. 3 days later, he was raised again. Jesus said, Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. This temple is going to be destroyed. That happened long after he died. 70 AD, the Romans came and they destroyed it. There's much that Jesus said. Everything Jesus said about the future came true. Those things that have happened. There are things he said that have not yet come true. He talked about returning. He talked about judgment that awaits. He talked about being received by the Father for any who will accept him, that they will not perish if they accept Jesus. Everything Jesus says, we're called to listen to. And where people get into trouble many times is that they pick and choose what Jesus said. They like the love passages, but not the judgment passages. You receive it all, or you receive none of it. Listen to Jesus. Last question ends with a warning. What happens if we don't listen? Verse 19, Moses says, "Whoever will not listen to my words, that he," the prophet he's talking about, "shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him." It's a word that refers to judgment. In Kevin DeYoung's book that I referred to earlier, he ends the book with a story about John Newton, the slave trader turned preacher. One time when John Newton was pastoring, he visited the home of a young woman who was dying. She was young, but it was clear she was on her deathbed. She was a simple woman. Newton said she'd never traveled more than 10 or 12 miles from home. She didn't have many books, but she did have a Bible, and she read her Bible constantly. And so when Newton was comforting her as she was coming to the end of her life, he prayed and thanked the Lord that the Lord gave her to see that she had not followed cunningly devised fables. That's a quote from 2 Peter 1. And she replied, "No, not cunningly devised fables. These are realities indeed." And then she looked deeply into Newton's eyes, and here's what she said to him as she reminded him of his calling as a preacher. She said, "Sir, you are highly favored in being called to preach the gospel. I have often heard you with pleasure, but give me leave to tell you that I now see all you have said, or can say, is comparatively but little. Nor till you come into my situation and have death and eternity in full view will it be possible for you to conceive the vast weight and importance of the truths you declare. I want to say to you today, I have told you that Jesus is God's only prophet. Listen to him. You cannot conceive how important that is. When you die, as you approach death, you will get a clear picture of that. As you hear the words of comfort from Jesus, as you hear his words about his blood covering sin, the peace that he offers to you, then those words will become more real. But I am telling you today, those words are true. Jesus is God's prophet. Listen to him. Listen to the Bible. One quick application. Pick up your Bibles, read them until God speaks to you about something, and then put your Bible down and don't go any further until you do what God said. Okay? Try that. See what happens. Let's pray to the Lord now. Oh Lord, thank you that you love us enough to reveal truth to us. And thank you that you speak clearly through Jesus. You speak of your love. You speak of the reality of judgment. Oh God, help us to listen to you. Help us to see those areas in our own lives where we're too proud to listen. We think we know the right way. Oh God, this is important. This is life and death stuff. This is eternity stuff. Grant that we would listen to your prophet, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.